Okay. Now, what we're going to do tonight, let's see. If Barbara is on the line, we are muted, and I need Barbara to hit *6 and come on. So, okay, good. Barbara, is that you?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to introduce Barbara again to you all. Barbara is, she and her husband are the hosts of our Dallas Heart Center group in Allen, Texas. And they do broadcasts from their house, usually on Sunday mornings. And some of you met her last time we had a class. And she's going to give the invocation for us. And then when she's through, she will hit *6 again so that we will stay muted and not hear background noises. So, Barbara, I will go ahead and let you give the invocation.
Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to learn and grow in the light. We call to our own higher selves to be close to us, to overshadow us, to inspire us, help us to listen and learn. Feel your great love and joy and wisdom and power. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with us, and draw us all together in the circle of oneness. We are grateful, accepted this, for the love of the Lord, Himself. Amen.
Okay, you are all muted. And I'm going to give you the directions or the instructions for the class tonight. First of all, if you can, have a pencil and paper ready in case you wish to take any notes or record any prayer requests or write down any mantras or affirmations that we give. I'm going to keep all of the callers muted unless someone would like to speak. And this will eliminate the background noise. Now, if you cannot hear something, press *6. The star is the little asterisk that you can see on there. You press *6 and tell me. And we'll see what we can do to improve the situation. If we invite you to speak, and that means anybody and everybody, whoever is going to speak needs to press *6, and whoever gets on first gets to speak. And that person will take no more than about 3 minutes to answer a question or ask a question or share an experience. And that will enable us to finish on time tonight. And we would love to have you call or email us. I certainly do invite this with any questions or suggestions that you may think of but you're unable to get answers for anytime after this class. Some things we won't have time to discuss as completely as we would like because we only have 90 minutes. Now we're going to have a few songs and a few prayers for protection and to help us focus. And that they will be followed by a breathing exercise or a breathing meditation with Mother Mary. And then we're going to be going through a dissertation that Master Kathumi gave when David Lewis was in Sweden. You may hear a Swedish heart friend ask about the stigmata. Now, Kathumi, by the way, who was also one of the three wise men in a previous incarnation, and who also was St. Francis of Assisi in another lifetime, is now called a world teacher, and he works closely with Jesus and with El Moria, who you know. He carried the stigmata during his incarnation as St. Francis of Assisi. And remember this, you don't have to say anything or contribute anything unless you are comfortable doing it, but we certainly would welcome you to do so. We're going to begin by saying a prayer called Shield of Faith. We're going to say it 3 times. Some of you have copies of this that I was able to email those of you who have computers. those of you who do not have it, just meditate on it as we say it together three times. And as you listen to it, listen to the words and visualize Archangel Michael and his angels all around you, protecting you with his powerful blue light while you meditate on the words. Now you'll only be able to hear me, so say it with me as you are able. I will say it pretty slowly, so you may pick up some of it and be able to say it, even though you don't have it in front of you. Here we go. In the name of Archangel Michael and Faith, I pray for your protection tonight of everyone on this class and everyone who is going to be joining us as the time goes on. Shield of faith, before, behind, protect my body, soul, and mind. To the right, to the left, and round my being, let choirs of faith and Michael sing, and cosmic bells of victory ring. Shield of faith above, below, let Lu Fame angels round me glow. To the right, to the left, and all about, let choirs of faith and Michael shout, their love now win and darkness rout. Again. Shield of faith before, behind, protect my body, soul, and mind. To the right, to the left, and round my being, let choirs of faith and Michael sing, and cosmic bells of victory ring. Shield of faith above, below, let blue flame angels round me glow. To the right, to the left, and all about, let choirs of faith and Michael shout, their love now win and darkness rout. Shield of faith before, behind, protect my body, soul, and mind. To the right, to the left, and round my being, let choirs of faith and Michael sing, and cosmic bells of victory ring. Shield of faith above, below, let blue flame angels round me glow. To the right, to the left, and all about, let choirs of faith and Michael shout, their love now win and darkness rout. Beloved I am, beloved I am, beloved I am. We thank you, Archangel Michael. Now this is prayer number 10.017 in your prayer book, and you can also take it off of a computer. You can print it off a computer if you are able to do that sometime in the future. You would do that by going to the tab called Sanctuary, clicking on it, and then clicking on where it says Prayers and Songs beneath that, and then going to prayer number 10.017. The next thing we are going to do is sing our short tube of light. Now what we have done now is we call for the blue light of protection around us, and now we are going to sing our short tube of light, which is also a protection, and it's a cleansing. It enables the violet laser light to come into the top of our head and go through our body and out to wherever we want to send it, so cleansing us and helping others in the process. So hold on here a minute and bear with me while we pray this, while we do this prayer. Okay, here we go. Thank you. cleansing every cell and energizing your whole body. Next, we're going to say some of the Holy Spirit affirmations. Now, these are affirmations you can say anytime, anywhere, as part of your devotional time each day. They are powerful, and if you would like to read more about the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are listed in your Bible in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and those are the fruits, and in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. And I think I would just read the fruits. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Nobody can stop you from practicing those things. In fact, if they try to stop you, you get to practice them even more, such as long-suffering. So we all are here to experience these fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, which again are 1 Corinthians 12. You can read about them in verses 4 through 11. So now take your Holy Spirit affirmations page that I sent you. And again, if you don't have it, just meditate as we say them together. And I think you will be able to say them with us as we go slowly. We're just going to say the first three. And we'll say each one three times. The first one you can say with me: I accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit this day. I accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit this day. I accept the gifts of the Holy Spirit this day. Now the second one: I accept the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I accept the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I accept the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now the third one: I will use the gifts of the Holy Spirit wisely. I will use the gifts of the Holy Spirit wisely. I will use the gifts of the Holy Spirit wisely. When you are using the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and when you are saying these affirmations, you are actually drawing into you again the violet flame. Because the Holy Spirit is embedded and is a part of the violet flame. It is the violet flame. Now the last thing we're going to do, I didn't send you this one, but the Masters led me to do this. We are going to meditate on one affirmation from prayer 50.016 in our prayer book, if you have one. But it doesn't matter. The Masters have told us that it is very important at this time to embrace and absorb the Mother Light. The Mother Light is somewhat different than the Father Light. The Father Light, which has been very much promoted in the Western civilization that we are in here, is one of taking charge of more impersonalness, while the Mother Light is one of personal caring in a gentle, immediate way. The word mother came from the word matter, because we think of matter as the Mother Earth, the Matter Earth. So the Masters have told us that it's very important to embrace and absorb this Mother Light, and that it would help us to bring in the Golden Age if we do this. It will also help our Mother Earth to complete her rise to a higher dimension. I will say this affirmation slowly, and you can say it with me while we visualize Mother Mary and the angelic mothers of heaven caressing you, loving you, and covering you with their light that spreads through you like oil and goes out joyfully through your chakras to bless all of mankind. Wherever you hold up your hands and direct that light, it will go to whomever you are visualizing it going to, if you really believe it. here's how it goes. The hour of the mother is come. At that point, you breathe in her spirit. And I am mothering life with the oil of gladness. You breathe out her spirit. So when we say the first part, we breathe in her spirit. And after we say the second part, we breathe out her spirit. So we will do this several times. Try to listen to me breathe and follow the breathing in and out with me. And the more you can breathe out, the more room you'll have to breathe in new, clean air. The hour of the mother is come. And I am mothering life with oil of gladness. Breathe out. Keep saying this with me. The hour of the mother is come. And I am mothering life with the oil of gladness. Breathe out. The hour of the mother is come. And I am mothering life with the oil of gladness. When you breathe your spirit out, you are blessing all mankind if you direct it to do so. You might want to write this down if you have a pencil and paper. The hour of the mother is come. And I am mothering life with oil of gladness. You know what oil is like. When you spill a little bit, it gets all over. It just runs all over. It lubricates things. This is what happens when you send out the oil of gladness of the mother life. You're lubricating the goodness of life. You're sending that light out to others of love and care and gentleness and caressing. There is no one that is a better example than Mother Mary of the Mother Light. And she is here right now today, right here with you, and her angels are surrounding every one of you. This is something that I've been praying for you all week, and I know that her angels are within you, around you, caressing you, and loving you. Now what we're going to do is go into this wonderful dissertation by Kazumi that I mentioned to you. I'm going to get it up here on my computer and play it. Here we go. This is a dissertation that came about from what we call a darshan. A darshan is an opportunity to ask questions and for the truth to come out in the answers, in this case by beloved Kazumi that I told you about briefly. And what you will hear is a lady with a Swedish accent in Sweden asking the first question in this darshan. And then you will hear beloved Kazumi giving the answer. And from time to time we will stop and discuss some of the things that he says that are very important that you could miss if we didn't mention them a little bit more. So, here we go. Bear with me as I get this going.
To me, beloved, I would like to know more about the stigmata and what kind of sign this is. Why it is given to certain persons. Thank you.
The stigmata comes to those who have so identified themselves with the passion of Christ. His suffering, his life and his last hours before the crucifixion, that they, at a soul level, have offered themselves through accelerated ruby love to also bear the sins or the karma of the world. This I did, and the seraphim came, piercing those points within my body that also pierced the Lord during his hour of trial. Other saints also, who have merged their hearts with the heart of Jesus, such as Padre Pio and Saint Gemma and others, have also borne this intense ruby fire within their physical bodies. It is truly the highest form of compassion as surrender that a human form can know to bear these marks of the Christ that are the focal points of the release of the secret rays within the body temple.
Okay, we'll stop here for a minute. Who or what are the seraphim that came piercing those points in the body? Does anybody know what the seraphim are? If you know, or if you would like to mention something that you've heard about them or whatever, feel free to hit *6. Okay, I will tell you what the seraphim are. Although if anybody wants to add anything to this, please feel free, or if you have a question. The seraphim are a type of an angel. They have 6 wings that resemble the wings of a dragonfly. They are pictured as being very large, bright, and fiery. In Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, they're mentioned, and they are also known to be very close to God. I'm going to read this one little scripture in Isaiah. It talks about a vision that Isaiah is having of the throne of God, with God sitting on the throne. And he says, he talks about the seraphim there. He says, above the throne stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 of them he covered his face, and with 2 of them he covered his feet, and with 2 of them he did fly. That really puts an unusual picture in my mind. A sort of a dragonfly figure with the top 2 wings covering his eyes and the bottom 2 wings his feet, and just the one sitting in the middle flying. And it says, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So it must have been quite a fantastic vision that Isaiah had. Now, we do know that the masters sometimes tell us we can call on the seraphim for certain things, for certain healing or a certain assistance. Did somebody want to add something to this or ask a question? Okay, here's another thing that was mentioned here by,
Donna?
Yes.
This is Barbara.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to add that the seraphim are often used for messengers, you know, to convey angelic messages
mm-hmm.
to people.
Good.
So that's another function that
that's right.
That they
have.
That.
That's yeah. The next question then is, who, briefly, are Padre Pio and Saint Gemma, and what are they known for? Would anybody like to answer that?
Donna?
Uh-huh.
This is Lynn. Could I just say one more thing about the seraphim?
Sure.
Earlier. They do make rounds around the whole galaxy.
Uh-huh.
Once every 24 hours. And in that time, you can call to them and ask them to interpenetrate our form so they sweep around the Earth.
That's fantastic. So they circulate around the Earth every 24 hours?
Around the galaxy.
Around the galaxy. Oh, that's huge.
Yeah. This is John. I got a comment, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we often refer to the seraphim and cherubim together, and I don't know quite how it works, but I understand one is a feminine type, of being, and the other is a masculine type of being. But like the cherubim and the flaming sword stands guard over certain things, like the Garden of Eden and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the I've never known much about the seraphim, but they're referred to together, and one I understand is masculine, one feminine, so that's all I know.
That makes sense. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thank you, John.
Wait, how do I cancel the star 6 again?
Uh-huh, right.
Father Nana?
Yes.
Father Theo was in the church, and he was a dishwasher, and he felt that he had lowly status, and he was able, or that he had the gift of healing, and he did a lot of miraculous healing.
Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't realize he was a dishwasher, but I'm sure he was very humble.
Humble.
Yeah. Very humble. And does anybody know about Gemma? Saint Gemma was a nun, and she was a very special, humble, giving, serving one, and I don't know all of her background anymore. I used to know more about her. But both Padre Pio and Saint Gemma were known for the fact that they had the stigmata. And even though Padre Pio never said anything, you could see the pain sometimes that the stigmata caused. And he wore gloves. You can see in pictures, even photographs of him, with those gloves that have the fingers cut off, and they covered the center of his palm where the bleeding and the serum would come forth and leave bloodstains, and the same on his feet. It was a great concern for him that nobody see it, because he was very humble and he didn't want to be saying, look what I have because I'm so special. He was a very humble person. I do not know how Saint Gemma dealt with it, but they were both known to have the stigmata, as well as Saint Francis of Assisi, who is Kathumi in this dissertation we're listening to now. The next question is, would anybody like to tell what the ruby fire is? The ruby fire is it's an amazing thing. It's a very intense ruby light and fire. And it can even be too much for many of us. Unless a person is highly evolved spiritually, he may not be ready for very much of this ruby fire light. There's a wonderful master called the Buddha of the ruby ray, and he abides within the center of the earth. And he, as well as other masters, have to do what we call step down their energy and their light in order to communicate with us, because we in our bodies are dense and we are limited in what we can tolerate of all of this fantastic light. As we grow spiritually, we can tolerate more of the intensity of the light and the fire of God and the ruby ray fire. And a word that is almost the same to the masters as ruby fire is love, the word love. The ruby fire love or the ruby love, they go together. And the intense love of the ruby fire or the ruby ray light is almost more than we can handle. But there are some people out there that would only become angry at us if we even had it, because it would be irritating to them. They would not be welcoming it. But it is something that we are to be open to as we grow, and it is actually a gift. As we grow, we get more and more of this ruby fire as we become stronger spiritually. Then the last question here is, what are the secret rays? Would anybody like to answer that? I have to reveal a secret here myself. I had to look quite a bit and find all the answers to some of these things myself, and it was very helpful to have to do so. I just want to mention this. In November of 2007, the teacher and mentor of Jesus, named Lord Maitreya, revealed to David Lewis, the messenger for the Heart Center community, the names of the archangels and the archei of the secret rays. Now, these higher rays or spiritual frequencies proceed from out of the white fire core of being of the causal body of the Godhead known to us as the Great Central Sun, or the sun behind the sun. It is a sun millions of times bigger than anything we could imagine, and it's directly behind our sun, and physically speaking, it is so far away that we could not see it. We cannot see it. But time is of nothing to the angels and the masters and the cosmic beings. Time is a second, a thought, and that's all it is. You just think, and there you are. That's the closest I could say. It's not even that. It's something on another level. We could have a whole class on this. And I will extend an invitation to you to feel free to call me if you'd like to know more about the secret ray angels, archangels, and what they can do for us, and how they are more active at this time than usual. And yet they were active in the lives of Padre Pio and Saint Gemma in healing others. The secret ray angels are known for healing, and the secret rays that they use, which are like rainbow rays apparently, are very powerful healing agents of God. Okay, now we're going to go on with the dictation, unless anybody would like to add anything to that.
Donna?
Uh-huh.
This is Barbara again.
Yes, Barbara.
I would just like to add that, you know, we know about the seven rays, and then when you add the five secret rays onto that, then you have a total of 12, and you can chart those on the clock. You start at 12 o'clock line and go around and put one of the, each of the seven rays on the first 7 hours, and then the last 5 hours are the secret rays. And so
that's wonderful.
You can chart them on the clock.
Mm-hmm. So you can, if you know how your astrology works on the clock, on the cosmic clock, you would know which secret ray you were right in line with.
That's correct.
Ah, there's a lot we could talk about there. I wish we had the time to go into cosmic clock studies tonight, because that's a wonderful study also. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, we will go ahead with the dictation now.
Frequencies most of mankind that move one into a higher stream of consciousness, simultaneously of intense pain and suffering, and yet through that experience, divine bliss and total love of God. These are focal points for the expiation of planetary karma, the unconscious choices of individuals to burn God and the law of their own beings, and thus the saints that have borne these marks have been divine exemplars of those who could bear a greater portion of planetary karma in their physical bodies, thus bearing with Jesus the sins of the world in this way.
So we see that those beings who have the gift of the stigmata were beings that were very high, at a very high level in their love and their total love and serving of God to God. There are some examples around, one that we're all aware of regarding people who have taken on what Kathumi calls planetary karma and what that looks like. And I think Barbara has a good answer to that. Be sure and speak up loud, Barbara.
Okay. Did you want me to talk about the list of third prophet?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Well, she has borne a great deal of planetary karma for a long time. And people who do that often end up with various illnesses or physical conditions as part of the expiation of this karma, because it is so intense. And you can imagine one person carrying the karma for, you know, hundreds, thousands of other people. You know, you know how difficult it is just to deal with your own stuff every day. Imagine having to bear the burdens of many, many, many others. You know, it would hit you pretty heavy. Elizabeth the Prophet, at the current point in time, is she has Alzheimer's and I think a couple of other conditions, but she also suffered from epilepsy throughout all of her life as far as I know. But this was something that she agreed to do as part of holding the balance for many, many other people. Donna and I also have a friend named Susan that is a very devout woman, and she has had a number of rather debilitating illnesses and conditions for a number of years, and she can't work anymore. She stays at home and she does research on the internet, and she prays a lot, and that's about all she can do because of her physical limitations at this point. But I think she serves a great purpose by, you know, bearing the karma of many that almost certainly agreed to that on the internet before she came into this life. And we all can help share the burdens of others just by envisioning good things for them and praying for them and, you know, hoping, calling for their protection and envisioning good things for them and all that. That can help a great deal. It doesn't have to be anything grandiose or it can be very simple.
This is John. I would like to add something to that.
Yes.
Actually, that's the work that we are doing in the Heart Center. All of our decrees, all of our prayers are handling the world karma as well as our own. And that's what we do the Buddha Rosary for. And so we're very intensely involved with our prayers and our thoughts in carrying the load and diluting it enough so that these people can see the light and move on and have hope of going back to the presence of God. So I think that's basically what it's all about.
That's right.
Getting rid of the stuff.
Getting rid of the stuff, right. Some of us have also volunteered our bodies, ourselves, and we all are doing it together, that's for sure. Okay, we'll go on with the dictation here.
Some of you have experienced the pain of having the piercing of your heart by world karma, as you have so identified with God's love that you have become a focal point for the transmutation of karma within your body temple. But in this day and age of Aquarius, it is not necessary for you to experience the physicality of the stigmata, but to bear the light as the counterpoint and counterweight of darkness within your chakras and aura, transmuting great quantities of planetary darkness and thus performing, in a sense, the same ritual and holding that same office as saints on the earth. As you accelerate the action of divine love within your heart, there is a cycling into your very aura of these planetary frequencies of darkness. And those of you who have for years and decades invoked the sacred fire and the violet transmuting flame know whereof I speak. Or if at times you leave off of your spiritual practices, the cycling of those energies can become a great weight even upon your physical heart.
So what he's saying here is when we are absorbing light on a regular basis, and if we have volunteered either at a soul level or a conscious level to bear planetary karma as servants of God, God gives this planetary darkness to us to transmute with our light. Just as Barbara was explaining what Elizabeth Clare Prophet volunteered to do, she even told us that she did that and asked us to do so. At that point, I was not ready to donate myself in that way. But we have watched her going to now, I think she's in a state of semi-consciousness and she's dying of cancer. And she did it willingly. Well, I wouldn't say she was thrilled about it, but she was determined to do the will of God, and in this case, she felt this was what she could do. So we acquire the light by joyful and right living, by our prayers and our songs, our meditation, our service, and our obedience to God. And if we suddenly stop doing those things, and the darkness is still cycling to us, how do you think we're going to feel? Pretty burdened. So when God knows that he has a servant in you, he's going to send more darkness around you. You may not even be aware of it at all, but because of your light, you will actually transmute it when you do the violet flame prayers and calls and the songs like we did tonight. And those things will simply dissolve any darkness coming to you, any darkness that is in you, any karma that you have, it will dissolve as you do those things such as we have already done. And if you want to learn some more ways to do it, you can join the broadcast that is on the website every morning at 7 o'clock. Some people join it at 8 o'clock or 8:30 or whenever they can and do just part of it. Some people do the whole thing. But it might be something you could look into.
One comment here, John Adams.
Yes, John.
Okay, my experience in the past for helping people that have been bothered by entities and so forth, anytime the darkness creeps in, all you have to do is intensify the light, and it reaches a point where they will not hang around. So if it's bothering you, the light is not strong enough. So all we have to do is add to our prayers, have clear vision of the light and whatever's comfortable with it, and it will get rid of it. They can't stand it. They run.
Right. And you know something else, John, and I have had an experience where people, I ran into people that I knew had an entity. I won't go into the whole story, but we had a girl working for us one time that, and we discussed together what was happening to her, and she knew she had an entity. The entity became very threatened by my presence. And I won't tell you what I went through with her, but it was an interesting experience. She could not tolerate the light, and she left, which was a good thing, I guess, since she wasn't ready to have the entities removed from her. So this is why some people that you know just seem so kind, so going back to the planetary karma thing, because this is something I don't want you to be afraid of. And you don't have to carry it if you don't want to or don't feel ready. It's something that you may have volunteered to do at a soul level and you're not aware of it, but you're drawn to the light because your soul volunteered to. But this is why some people, such as the lady that Barbara mentioned, Susan, who is dying slowly as a complication of Lyme disease. Why somebody like her, who seems to be the epitome of love and thoughtfulness and caring and all the fruits of the Spirit, doesn't seem to get well. No matter what you do for some of them, they do not get well. And they joyfully carry on that way, and they realize that our life here in the physical body that we're in is just a vapor. It's just here for a moment, and then it passes away to our great and wonderful reward in heaven with the Lord right there. Of course, some of these people that are suffering like this, they don't know about the violet laser light. And I always pray daily that I'll meet some of them and be able to help them know that they can relieve some of their suffering with the violet laser light that is so powerful now. So let's just go on here again and hear the rest of this dictation.
Therefore, for the one so merged with the stream of God reality, that he lays down his or her life for his friends, as Jesus said, as the highest form of love, you will know in the surrender process a greater love, a greater connectivity with your God presence, as you offer yourself on behalf of many life streams for greater world transmutation. The marks of the Christ, the wounds whereby he was pierced in the side, and the spikes were nailed through his hands and feet, are holy points of God reality within the subtle body that some of you see with your inner sight. And so there are numerous saints of the earth today who bear these marks of Christ in the etheric plane, though not in the physical.
Kasumi talks here about the subtle body. He says there are holy points of God reality now within the subtle body that some of you can see with your inner sight. What is the subtle body? Does anybody know what the subtle body is? Well, actually, the subtle body is the etheric body. That's that part of you that's the electromagnetic force kind of all around the outside of you. It's not quite the same as the aura. It is similar. But everything that happens to you has to go through that etheric body before it gets into the physical. And sometimes I have made calls for people that I think are about to get ill from something they're doing. I know it may be in the etheric yet, but once it gets through the etheric, whatever it is, a virus or a bacteria or infection or something, it's going to go into the physical. And I will pray that it won't get through it. So the subtle body is just that etheric. We have four areas that we are aware of, the etheric, the physical, the mental, and the emotional bodies. So we'll go on here to the next part.
The Via Dolorosa, as the sorrowful way, is no longer our pathway, beloved friends, but the joyful way of the violet transmitting, singing flame and the violet laser light, being revealed in the 20th century by beloved Saint Germain, has offered each one an opportunity to know a higher way of transmutation rather than the sorrowful and painful way of the saints in ages past. Therefore, listen to the great master of Aquarius as he continues to teach you of divine alchemy. Learn the way of violet joy transmutation and of greater ruby love And in this way, the seraphim will come to you personally and initiate you in the ways of higher love, not requiring a physical piercing, but giving you greater understanding of the higher passion of the saints robed in white.
We'll stop for a minute here again. Would anybody like to explain what the Via Dolorosa is? Or what you know about it or have heard about it?
I will, Donna.
Great.
This is Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Via Dolorosa literally means the sorrowful way. And in the Christian tradition, it was to follow in the footsteps of Christ, especially his crucifixion and the sufferings that he went through on his last day on earth, to become more like Christ and to also help carry the burdens of the world, I think. And Kazuki was saying, that path is no longer the path of the Aquarian times, which we are moving into now. There's a new way, and I know in other places I've heard him call it the Via Gloriosa, which is the glorious way instead of the sorrowful way. So instead of being in sorrow, we are to be in joy and in praise. And that's the way of, that's the Aquarian way to heaven instead of the sorrowful way.
Mm, excellent. So now we are to be in the joyful violet flame way.
Yes.
Right. I think that sometimes they talk about the Via Dolorosa ending at a Christian church inside the walls of Old Jerusalem, which was built on a hill called Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. But that was the end of it. And now we live in the joyful way. And there are certain ways we can help other people live in the joyful way. And that's by taking this violet flame, laser light into us and sending it out to others. There was a time here recently when I came into the house after shopping and my husband was in a bad mood. My daughter was in a bad mood. And you could feel the weight of their moods like a blanket. And I went into my office where I have my little altar, and I began to say a violet joy mantra and raised up my hand and focused it at them, which they were in the other part of the house, and just sent them joy, just waves of joy after waves of joy. And I went out there about 10 minutes later, and they were both in completely different places. They were happy. They were joyful. My daughter was making jokes. My husband was no longer upset about the broken refrigerator, and everything was flowing. So you can practice this. Now, if you don't have any joy yourself, or if you don't believe it can happen, then it won't. You need to pull that joy into yourself until you feel the joy, and then you send it out. Because the more you pull it in and the more you send it out, the more comes in. You can't outgive God. That's in the scriptures too, although we usually think of that as money. But you cannot outgive God. He gives you the gift of joy, and the more you give it out, the more He gives it. So practice that with your immediate family. Okay, let's see here where we are. Who is the great master of Aquarius? Does anybody know who the great master of Aquarius is? His initials are SG. Putin. Go ahead, somebody. I know somebody's trying to say something, but for some reason I can't hear you.
Saint-Germain.
Saint-Germain, right. He is a master. Did you have something else?
Well, you're
fading out.
Okay, I'm not sure why, but maybe if I get on the phone.
Okay.
Is this working?
Yeah, that's better. You'll just have to yell.
Oh, okay. Well, Saint Germain has lived many, many embodiments preparing for bringing forth the teachings today, and he's always sponsored freedom and starting 50,000 years ago when he was the ruler of a golden age civilization where the Sahara Desert now is. And he had many very well-known embodiments, such as St. Joseph, Father of Jesus, Prophet Samuel, the Greek philosopher, and then in the 5th century, he was embodied as Merlin, again. St. Germain was Roger Bacon, philosopher, educational reformer, and Christopher Columbus.
Christopher Columbus, yes, that's one of my favorites.
Freedom. He did attempt to unite Europe, but it wasn't successful as the Wonder Man of Europe.
And why was he known as the Wonder Man of Europe?
Well, he did many feats of alchemy. He worked with the kings and the courts and aristocracies, and he, you know, won their interest, and they were curious, and they were, you know, very impressed by him. But they didn't follow his direction of governmental and uniting and liberating. So that did not come forth.
That's right.
He was a sponsor of. Well, he actually inspired the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
He appeared to them. He's the one that said, sign that document.
Mm-hmm.
And so that played a major role. And, of course, he brought forth our blessed violet flame and violet laser light.
Mm-hmm.
And the Shakespearean play. Wow. He was the author of the Shakespearean play.
Yes. That's the amazing thing to me. That's the amazing thing to me, that he never got the credit due him for being the author of the Shakespearean plays. If you read, there's a book out there called The Shakespearean Code, and you will learn in there how Roger Bacon had to write these plays kind of undercover because it was a political time. And he did allow someone else to take credit for them so that he wouldn't get in trouble. And so we always, the person, of course, that took credit was William Shakespeare. But Duane is so right. He went to Europe and tried to unite Europe into a United States, and they would not listen to him. The courts, the kings of France in particular, would not listen to him, so he had to leave. He had to abandon them. And so then we have the United States. Did someone else want to say anything more about Saint Germain?
Yeah, I would like to. Saint Germain actually set the whole thing up with Napoleon Bonaparte. He was not to have any heirs. They were doing away with all that bureaucracy of the kings and so forth, and starting a whole new system of government. And then Napoleon Bonaparte stopped being a student of Saint Germain, and the whole thing fell apart. But that's where it all really began, having a government separate from kings and their posterity. So he worked very hard on those things for a long time.
That's great. I've forgotten all about that. Thank you so much, John, for sharing that. Okay, we'll go on with the dictation. And thank you, Gwen. That was great, a great victory. Saint Germain. Here we go.
In this hour, many who have borne the great light of the universal great white brotherhood, now merge their heart streams with you so that you can feel this level of divine compassion flowing through your auras and chakras. It is so that you are being prepared as those saints, even living upon the earth. And one day when your mission is accomplished, you will rise in your holy office ascending ones, enter the great holy city of light in etheric realms, partaking of that divine office that you hold even now at inner levels upon earth. All of you have embodied that saint in the Catholic Church and in other Christian dispensations and past embodiments. This is why you feel a great calling within your souls and hearts to serve humanity with this new teaching and understanding, evolving past and beyond the past understanding of the sorrowful way. It is from this new perspective that you will win, blessed hearts, so long as you remain true to that holy office, tethered to reality, joyful upon your path, and loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I thank you.
Now, just as a quick review, we find that he is saying there are really four things that will enable us to win. He says it's from this new perspective that you will win, blessed hearts, so long as you remain, number one, true to that holy office. We don't know what our holy office is, but we all have a holy office or a holy role, just like when you're in the army. In this case, we're in the army of God, like onward Christian soldiers. We all have a role. Then he says, tethered to reality, which means bound to what is really true, allowing your Father, Mother, God to tell you and keep you in the line of truth by meditating and knowing in your inner self what really is. Thirdly, joyful upon your path, he said, which means no matter what happens, happiness, they sometimes say, depends on happenings. But joy, the Christians love to say this, joy is because of Jesus. Joy from Jesus, happiness from happenings. I never get that right, but... And the last one is loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So true to your office, tethered to reality, joyful upon your path, and loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the whole crux of the matter, those four things. And basically, if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, you will pretty much do the other three. Now we are going to go to the next question. And hang in there. Here we go. I'm going to get this set up here.
Next question.
Beloved Kutumi, I wonder, what is the purpose with the evil? Why does it exist? And where does it come from?
Evil is the energy veil that shrouds the inner light within every son and daughter of God. It is simply unconsciousness
shadow, an absence of the divine reality shining right within the space of selfhood. Evil has been the great conundrum to humanity for eons. An understanding of the context of its appearance has been that dilemma that few have fully unraveled to know the divine bliss of oneness. Some have said, resist evil, and it will flee from you, while others look upon evil simply as the darkness that highlights the light within all. Whether you look upon evil from the context of duality, as a part of the Tai Chi itself, or whether you decide to simply focus permanently and finally upon your divine source as the sun center of being, understand, Blessed Ones, that the word evil in reverse is live. And what I would have you focus on and upon is life itself. The more you muse on evil, the more you magnetize its veil upon you. The more you muse and meditate upon light, the more you draw forth that radiance of the divine world into your life. The choice is yours to decide how much of your awareness, consciousness, and attention will be focalized upon the divine reality of light and life, and how much you will determine to inveigle yourself in the doings of the shadow self. I suggest, as others before me have suggested, that you focalize at least 80% of your time and attention upon the vision of what, by intention, you set forth as your goal, and that no more than 20% of your time and attention be spent on what you would term dissolving evil, or the ways of the evil one.
So, what is an example of focalizing on your goal or your reason for being? What are some ways we can discipline ourselves to do this? I might just mention here, in my own experience, I was wondering, I've often wondered throughout my life, well, what am I meant to do? And as I would meditate, and think about it a while and pray about it, things would come into my lap or into my life that clicked, and I knew that's what I was meant to do. For instance, we have a health food store, and the way we evolved into that health food store was a series of miracles that just worked out from a bedroom in our house that was converted into a health food store into finally buying a store downtown. And every door opened that shouldn't have opened. For instance, I had to figure out how to get the stuff. And the company that delivered all the things that I needed for my store was not about to deliver things to a house to go into a bedroom. No, sir. But they did it with me for some reason. So that kind of helped me see this was part of my reason for being. And I discovered that through my health food store I could use the things that I knew about health to counsel other people and help them. So that's one way you can determine what your reason for being is. As doors open and suddenly things fall into your lap, and things are directed for you to go here or go there. If you are open, because sometimes we may not want to do what is opening to us. I battled a little bit about the health food store. I thought, oh, no, I can't do that. Oh, I can make more money working in a hospital as a nurse. Oh, my kids need me. That would just, you know, I just went on and on. But when I stopped and meditated and prayed, the doors opened into that. So would somebody like to comment on that? Well, I will just mention this. Another way, another thing we need to do is, or that we can do, I should say, we don't need to do this. A lot of people make treasure maps where they cut out pictures of things that they know that they're meant to do, put them up there, and focus on them. Pictures of a kind of house they would like to have, pictures of what they would like their husband to look like or their children, or whatever it is. And then as time goes by, maybe some of the pictures they take down and replace with a better picture of something that's just a little more God reality. How can we also apply this to our permanent problems in the government? I would just say this is my own opinion coming here, but I cannot listen to some news programs because they are so negative. And I'm thinking this poor president of ours has the whole world looking at him with so many negative, so much negative energy. Why aren't you doing this? And you've done this wrong. And how come that? And the president is going to put us all in the hole, and we're all going to be miserable. Yeah. Exactly. And so we need to picture this president as being what he came here to be and pray for him like we've never prayed before. We need to be praying for our president, no matter whether we have agreed with what he did or not. And one of the things that I have been led strongly to pray for our president is that the right people will come into his life. I have thought several times that perhaps Newt Gingrich was a good person to come into his life. And then the other night, as I've been praying about that, I happened to watch the news. I couldn't help it. My husband was watching it. And here was Newt Gingrich saying, well, he really thought his reason right now for being was to help the president, if the president would listen to him, because he had some ways that he thought would just help him. I looked at the president on 60 Minutes the other day, and he looked so tired, and he had this one eyelid drooping, and I just felt for him. So I think this is one way we can apply our reason for being with our light, our violet laser light, sending it out and praying for our government and for our president. So if anybody would have anything else. What?
Well, Don.
Yeah.
Also, what you can do is do your prayers and do your meditation, and then at night before you go to bed, if you have something that you need an answer for, write it down on a tablet and ask an answer, and usually when you wake up in the morning, you will have an answer.
That's wonderful, Lee. That is such a good idea. Yes, that works. But sometimes the thing that you're thinking about last, if you write it down, that really imprints it in your brain. And you send that to the masters as you go to sleep, or to the angels as you leave your body and your soul consciousness, and you will come back in the morning and you will know what to do. That's a very good thing.
I got one comment.
Mm-hmm.
John, this happened, there was a book about what the spirit world was like and what hell was like, and this person was in hell, and there's always helping agents work there to help them out, and he totally frustrated, didn't know what to do, and the helper came and said, well, you can see the next step, can't you? He said, yes. He said, well, take it. And then he complained again. He said, well, you can see what the next step is. Well, take it. And before long, he was out of hell. Well, that is the way I feel about what we're in right now. We have to take a step moment by moment, and it becomes obvious what we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of worrying so much, oh, what we're doing tomorrow and everything, a general picture, yes, but the particulars, it becomes obvious as we take our steps. And I think if we empower ourselves that way, we'll be able to handle it, and we'll be able to walk through it, and we'll have a positive outcome, you know.
That's right. That is right. Okay, we'll finish.
Donna?
Yes.
Donna, one other. One other thing I read just a while back, I don't recall where, but Dale Morey said that when you have something, that just go somewhere private by yourself, and at the top of your lungs, just tell him what you want and say, help me, help me, help me.
Yes, that is really good. And I think some of us have done that when we've gotten desperate. But that's very good. Make it obvious. Make it clear.
Exactly. Put it down there.
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll hear the end of this real quickly here, and then we'll take prayer requests.
Some have suggested that evil is necessary in order for good to appear. But all this is within the context still of duality. The only one that is good is God. As my brother and friend Jesus said, when some called him good master. And yet the master himself called a spade, cast out the money changers, and to those who had held their bonds over the people through unmerciful laws, he delivered the fire of the Holy Spirit, naming them as serpents, fallen ones, hollowed out skeletons who held no light within their being. As you awaken unto your own Buddha nature, you will know both the shadow world of darkness, and yet all around you will be blazing the light of your solar presence as a witness to your own Buddha nature. You see, blessed ones, the light of the sun dispels darkness and shadow. I choose to live within that sun. And I invite you also to be the fiery ones who know the presence of ultimate joy in God always. So I could speak for hours on this topic, suffice it to say that a word to the wise is sufficient, and that word is Christos, the Anointed One, the Light, the Word. Focus on this, and you shall win. Blessed heart.
So we see that the key is to be in alignment with your Christ or your Buddha self. It's really the same thing. Some call it their guardian angel. And that part that becomes one with your soul as your soul moves up to your solar plexus and then to your heart as you grow spiritually is often called our Christ self or our Buddha self. I just will mention one little thing. I had somebody ask me not long ago, who should I pray to? My Father, Mother, God, my Christ self? The Holy Spirit, what do I do? That's where that little word duality comes in there. You don't have to worry about it. When you call to any one of those, even your own personal physical elemental, which is that little fairy-like being that takes that helps you find your glasses or may have removed them, whatever one you call on, whether it's your Father, Mother, God, your Christ self, the Holy Spirit, any one of those is one with all the rest. So they are all being called on at the same time. Now you may want to focus on one part, one aspect of that, which you can, because there are different definitions or descriptions or virtues involved there. You can call on the angels of Saint Germain. And when you do so, your Father, Mother, God is also hearing you. So when you are worried about which one should I call on? That's duality, because we are all one, which we will suddenly realize when we leave these little temporary bodies we're in and become a soul to merge with our higher self forever. Okay, what we're going to do now is take some prayer requests, and then we will seal our evening class. So, who would like to share any prayer requests or any prayer answers at the same time?
Yeah, I have an go ahead.
Thank you. Donna, my brother Ralph, I sent you that email.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I have one for Jim Fulton. Jim Fulton is the one who was distributing the rice machines, and he's in jail now. They're trying to convict him of many, many crimes. All he was doing was helping people with the rice machine, and they're going to have the sentencing in May, and we need as much as possible. And this is on the Internet going all over. They've planned this for 3 years. They confiscated all his property, rice machines and stuff, about 3 years ago, and they finally gotten to where they put him in jail. So we need some help there.
Yeah. Okay. Another prayer.
And they also need donations for his defense.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes, I have a rice machine. I thoroughly enjoy having it. Okay. Other prayer requests? You hit *6 in order to... Oh! Yeah, *6, and then you can go ahead and talk. Okay, I can't hear anybody, so maybe you need to hit *6 again.
Request from my father.
Uh-huh.
Piano. Yeah, he has a woman in which he's getting oxygen treatment now. For the dialysis, but it's healing thanks to your prayers. So I'd like to just give for all the prayer group.
Okay, now he's still on dialysis, isn't he?
He's on dialysis and he developed a non-healing wound on his left foot.
You're breaking up a little bit, but then the wound where?
On his left.
Left something.
Foot.
Oh, left foot. Okay, got that. Okay, we'll pray on
that. Donna. Donna?
Yes.
Hi, this is Lola. Thank you again for all your love and support and everybody's prayers. We would just like to pray that we have some resolution with our old company paying all of the employees as soon as possible, because unfortunately a lot of us and the patients, and your continued prayers that we can hopefully have an employment where we can help a lot of people and not be in state. Thank you.
Yes, we will pray for the resolution of that.
Thank you.
Oh yes, and for you to get the right job.
Thank you.
Uh huh. Okay, and Shola, are you there? If Shola's there, I'm interested to know if Nick has gotten how Nick is doing.
Shola told me, my mom told me that Nick didn't, so we have to get to the employment that would be satisfying to him so that he too can help a lot of people.
Right. Okay, I'm putting that down here. Appointment for Nick.
You.
Okay.
I'm here, Donna. Sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
We're still trying to be positive about things, so
I know.
Hopefully we'll get something soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
We know it'll be at the right. It's so hard to wait. It's so hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we know it's better to wait than to get the wrong thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I have a prayer request from one of the ladies that couldn't be on tonight because she facilitates a support group for bipolar people. And she requests prayer for her group and prayer for her relationship with her mother and her sister who don't understand her particular problems. So I put her down, and that's Kathy. And does anybody else have any prayer requests tonight?
Oh, and Donna?
Uh-huh.
Just one more, again, as usual, just for everyone's existence. And throughout the world, we're all in our time now, but I think slowly, hopefully, we'll all turn the corner with God's help and all of our prayers.
Yes, yes, that we for sure will be praying for. Okay, I'm going to just go over these briefly. We don't all have to go into a lot of detail on each one because
I have
anybody...
one more, please.
Yes, please.
Pray for Brooke Blake. She's a young woman who had a liver transplant a few years ago, and she's been having a lot of problems with rejection symptoms again.
That's Ruth Blake?
Brooke.
Oh, Brooke. Brooke Blake. Liver transplant problems. Okay. All right, I'm going to go over these because I want you all to write them down and be praying for them until we meet again. For Kathy Crenshaw, or you can just write for Kathy, her relationship with her mom and her sister, and her bipolar support group. Pray for Ralph, that's Lee's brother. Pray for peace and relief for him and for God's will in that situation. We pray for John mentioned Jim Folsom, who's the man that is selling the Reich machines, delivering them, selling them, mainly or only for the purpose of helping people. And pray for his sentencing, the sentencing part in May, for his defense and for the donations needed to help him win this case. And this would be a landslide thing for other situations out there, too, if he could win. For Diana, we want to pray for that. We thank God for the helping and healing of the kidneys of her father, but we pray right now for the wound on his left foot to heal. And for Lola, for the resolution, and Diana too, because Lola and Diana are doctors, in case you all didn't know, and I don't think I ever told you that, but they are working in the Dallas area, and they are having problems with a previous company that they worked for that has not paid them, and it's just kind of gone downhill. And they need to pay their salary, and they need to find the right place to work, right places. And for Shola, we want to pray for the right employment for Nick. We want to pray also for Brooke Blake. She's having liver transplant problems. We want to pray for Minerva. She didn't say anything, but Minerva just needs help for relief of pain in her knees and her asthma and other problems that she's had. We just want to, and Minerva may be one of those examples of planetary, thinking on planetary stuff. For God and pray for all of us as we take these things on. I had a frozen shoulder that I don't think I told you about for 6 months. And at that time, I met several other people that had frozen shoulders. And all of a sudden, one morning, it was gone. So I don't know what that was either. But some of our problems are due to the darkness that we have to deal with. And we're going to pray for Minerva, and then we're going to pray for the whole world and for our government and our planet and the birth pangs that our planet is going through as we go into a higher and a better dimension. So, I will close with these tonight, and you all can take them with you and pray over these in your devotional times. Beloved Father, Mother, Holy Spirit, Son, Daughter, Christ selves of each and every one of us on this call, we pray tonight for Kathy, regarding her support group, you know what it is, Lord. And we pray for her relationship with her mom and her sister. We pray for Ralph to know what he needs to do and for peace and relief for him and great joy for him and for his family despite the situation. We pray for John, John's friend Jim Folsom. He's actually all of our friends, who is involved with his sentencing due to the government confiscating his Reich machines. We pray for justice for him. For Diana, we pray for the healing of the wound on the left foot of her father. We thank you for his kidneys doing better. For Lola, we pray for the resolution for the company that she and Diana and others have worked for. They have not been able to get their salaries and are just having a difficult time making it right now. We pray for a complete resolution to all of that. And for Shola, we pray for good employment, the right employment for Nick. We pray for Brooke Blake tonight, for that is having problems that just keep cropping up over her liver transplant, for a healing and resolution of this. And we pray for Minerva to be able to tolerate what she has to tolerate and be relieved with what you would relieve her of. If you help her as she does the violet flame, to see that violet flame coming down and penetrating all the parts and all the cells of her body, giving her relief. And we pray for relief of pain for all people who are suffering on the planet this day. We thank you, Father, and we give you great joy, and we are grateful that our bodies are only here for a temporary time, as a vapor that is here for a moment and then passes away. We look forward to being with you, but we will take and do whatever it is you would have us to do while we are here. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Mother Mary, and the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, and we thank you, Masters. We thank you, Kasumi, for your dictation and for the wonderful help you were to us tonight. Help us to think on these things as we go to the retreats at night while we are asleep. Help us to learn what we need to learn in our soul's consciousness and bring it back to our conscious self to apply to our lives, that we may be the best possible servants of God that we can be. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, gang, I'll let you go, and I'm only, what is it, 6 minutes late or 8 minutes late, so you all go to bed, those of you that need to, and have a wonderful night, and I'll see you the next time.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Good night.
Well,
thank you. Good night.